All right. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go, and I will send a letter with unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." But he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word and this wonderful message to us. We pray you'll guide our thoughts through it. Use it, Lord, for each person's need. Lord, there's great spiritual need here today, and I pray that there would be that work of salvation and that encouraging word to the saint, and there would be that correcting word to those that are away from thee. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Well, Naaman was a great man, and the Bible tells us that of him, and he was honorable, and he was a man of valor, man of great courage. He was captain of the host. Now, we think of captains. I've got a son that's a captain. He was a junior officer. But in the Bible, when you come to the word captain, you're really talking about the general. And Naaman was the general of the army of Syria. And that nation at that time was the great power of that region. And the Lord had given a great deal of deliverance to Syria. There's always wars between nations. And this nation had been somewhat victorious over the nations around through this man, Naaman. He was an honorable man. He was a well-known man, a great man. And he was a man of valor. And God is the one that gives us those words here in his word. But he was a leper. Now, that's always something here that would be of help to us. He was a leper. Somebody here might say one day, well, you might wake up, not necessarily very often, But maybe you've experienced this. You got up in a day and you looked at your life and you said to yourself, what is wrong with me? Maybe there was a breaking of a relationship. Maybe there was an immoral act that you committed. Maybe there was something that you had said in anger that you wish you could take back. There was something wrong and you sensed the guilt of it, and maybe you said to yourself, what is wrong with me? Now, oftentimes we'll say, what is wrong with them? And that's not what I'm talking about. We need to realize there's something also wrong with us. What is wrong with me? Well, Naaman, being the great man that he was and the great achiever that he was, and I have to say to you, he's an intelligent man. He's a man of great skill, military genius, we might want to call him, and honorable in all of that. And many people looked at him and said, we are so thankful that Naaman is on our side, that he's leading our troops to the victories that he's had. Even the king is impressed by him and is very concerned about him when he finds he's a leper. Well, Naaman, in all his greatness, wakes up one day and says, there is something wrong with me. And it's a serious matter. I'm a leper. And I think rather than immediately looking at some spot on his hand or foot or ear or whatever it was, and thinking it was leprosy, I think probably it took him some time to acknowledge that it was leprosy. When he probably first saw and noticed some blemish on his skin, he thought to himself, oh, I think that'll just be some minor thing and it will go away soon. But instead of going away, it increased. And that's the way, by the way, sin is. Do you remember when you were a child? There are many things you wouldn't have done. You didn't even know about them. But sin began, and it began in your eyes, maybe, or in the eyes of others even, in some small and insignificant way, but it didn't stay that way. It grew. And it became a great problem to you. Sin is always destructive. It is not something that is a problem to us at first, but in its fruit, and as it goes on, it becomes divisive to us against others around us, and there's trouble then in our life. Now, leprosy is a good illustration of sin. It starts small, but it's deadly. And it destroys along its deadly path. Everything it touches, everything that it's a part of, it destroys. It, in many ways, is like sin, and sin sometimes can become used to. In other words, you become hardened to sin. Sometimes what you first did maybe caused a great deal of guilt. But sometimes sin goes on and there's less the pain of guilt. Well, leprosy is like that too. It numbs the body where it attacks. It is also incurable, and even today it's incurable. Many people think that leprosy is curable. It is not. It's a disease caused by bacteria that is not curable. It is kind of a cousin to tuberculosis. It can be controlled today, and people do control tuberculosis, and they also control leprosy, but it is never rid of the body. It is not overcome by the human. And that's also a good picture, isn't it, of sin? Destructive, dangerous, and even brings the great person. And I have to say to you, there's wonderful things in the human life. You look at yourself and you see things, and you have abilities, you have skills, and I thank God for that. But the sin that you have is destructive. And the scripture here says that he was a leper. Mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. A great honorable person, but he was a leper. Looked up to by many people and very useful for his nation, but he was a leper, and that is his problem. And I have to say to you, it is the problem that God uses for his good. I don't mean that sin is a tool in God's hands, but sin brings us to a place where we see that we need God. And this leprosy is that which brings us to a place where we see we need God. How We need him. But our pride is great. Oh, it's so great. We're arrogant and prideful. And God has to humble us. God has to bring us down before we will really come to God. And oftentimes the results of sin and waking up one day and say, what's wrong with me? Why do I do what I do? Why do I act the way I act? Why have I hurt the people I've hurt? What is wrong with me? Well, it needs to be deeper than just the relationships that you have with others that your sin has hurt. No, it needs to be deeper than that. Little children come to a place one day, and I hope that you might understand this. And let me just go off into this just for a moment. Children reach an age where they are accountable to God. I do not know what that age is, and I rather think that it's a different time for different people. But one day God holds them accountable. David's baby died, and David said, I cannot bring him back, but I'm going to go to be with him. In other words, the baby was with the Lord, because David also said in Psalm 23 that he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, when the baby died, he went to be with the Lord, and children, little children, are not yet accountable. And I do not know all the ins and outs of that. I just leave it in God's hands. But one day, a little child comes to the place where they know they've not just lied to their parents, and they know that's wrong. But somewhere in the growing up process, in the days of coming out of childhood, a little child comes to understand they've done wrong to God. Now, every adult in this room knows that. If I ask you, have you done wrong to God, you would acknowledge that if you were honest, if you were truthful, that you had done something wrong that God saw and that it was against God. And a little child has to come to that place where they are recognized and understand their condition of sin. Not just that they've done wrong, but it's sin against God. David said, that he acknowledged that against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And we recognize that God sees that sin of our life. Well, it's not just then, is it? The sin against our family or the sin against our friend or sin against somebody we work with. But it's a sin against God. And that is a difficult thing for us to deal with. And it's not something that we want to see or think about, because in some ways, that's a little bit frightening, that we've done wrong to God. And where are we going to go then when we die? What will happen to us when we go before God? We've wronged him. And what's going to be the result of that with God? Well, we cover it up, try to hide from it. But sin is real, and we need some help. But our pride keeps us from acknowledging the things of God and our need of God's forgiveness. We're so proudful. Well, Naaman's not any different. He's proud. Are you hearing this? He's terribly proud. Well, he says, I'm a great person, yes, but you're a leper. Well, I'm honorable, yes, but you're a leper. Well, I'm a man of great valor, you may be, but you're a leper. And the fact of that is a humbling matter. And oh, how we need to see that fullness of it. How we really, what we really are before God. And Naaman is beginning to see his trouble. But what's the answer? What's the cure? If he looked at men, looked around at other people, what they've done with their leprosy, he has no hope. Everybody that's ever had leprosy in his society that he's seen has died. There's no solution. Do you see the old age in me? No, I'm as young as I ever was. No, you see death in me is what you see. Everywhere you look, you see the aging and the deteriorating of man. Well, that's one thing that everybody has, certainly, but that also is a reminder of our need of God, isn't it? And Naaman doesn't have any solution. He doesn't have any answer to this life-threatening problem of his life, and neither do you. You may not believe this, but you may be young and beautiful. You may be young and handsome, but you're going to be old and ugly. That is, if you live long enough. We're a helpless people. God's the only solution. Is there eternal life? Yes. Is there forgiveness of sin? Is there a healing of this problem that we have? What is wrong with me? And so many a person, when they begin to say, what is wrong with me? They begin to seek solutions. And this is the new year. We have some wonderful New Year's resolutions. We're going to solve the problems of our life. Well, I think this is true, that we cannot solve the real problem of our life. We may cover it up for a while. We may do better in some areas for a while. We may say, I'm not going to do that anymore. And we may have some success for a period of time. But sin is always that terrible monster that eats away. And Naaman sees it. What's he going to do? Well, we see some humbling of him, because what we see is a little maid, one of the captives that he took away from probably dead parents in a war. A little girl, captive, an Israelite girl, that had become the servant to Naaman's wife. And she was wonderfully blessed with something. Have you seen people blessed with God? The kindness, the desire to help, the desire to do something for the person that is sinful, without any hope. It is not that she is sinless or without any problem, no. But you see, she knows things of God. And she knows there's a cure for the leprosy. And she says to her mistress, would God that Naaman was in Israel. There's a prophet there that could heal him. Well, it's God, isn't it, that would heal? Because it's God's message that the prophet gives. It's God's message then that has to be believed. And it is God then that does the healing of Naaman. But Naaman at least listens. Why, he wouldn't have listened before, would he? Before his leprosy. But now he's beginning to listen. What's wrong with me? Something is wrong. I cannot get a cure. I can't change my life. And he listens to the little maid. Well, the king gets word of it, of Syria, and he said, writes a letter to the king of Israel. That's the way the diplomats do. That's the way the world does. We got power. We can control things. And we can get things done by our strength. They were fooling themselves, all of them. The king wrote a letter and said, I'm going to send my servant Naaman for him to be cured of his leprosy. The king of Israel got it and said, what am I, God? Why is he sending to me? I can't cure him. I can't solve his problems. And by the way, there's a lot of things in life today that seems to be the answer to the social and sinful problems that we have. But it's not an answer. The only cure is in the hands of God. And the king of Israel realizes this is a dangerous time for him to be straddled with the responsibility to heal a man of his leprosy. I tell you, it would be a terrible thing. You know, we preach at the mission, and people can get saved, and they can come out of their sin. I would hate to be a social worker trying to cure them of their problem. I'd hate to be a probation officer trying to help them out of their problem. In fact, I'd hate to be a preacher if I wasn't a preacher of the grace of God, of the gospel of God. There is no solution. And the king he's upset. Well, Naaman is going to come. And Naaman does come. And he brings a lot of money, 10 talents of silver. I think it is 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 chains of raiment. I mean, tell you, this is a lot of money. This is millions of dollars in our day that he brings. He's going to buy his way. You see, we try all kinds of things to solve our problem and thinking that we can do it. And the prophet tells the king of Israel, send him to me. But Naaman is coming in with a great entourage. Can you see him? He's got his soldiers. He's got his chariots. He's got his clothing. He's got his rich silver. He's got his gold. He's got his pomp. He's the great general of the great nation of Syria. Everybody's afraid of him. Why, this man is a great man. He's an honorable man. And he comes in all his greatness. But God won't accept your greatness. God isn't going to accept even your knowledge. You may have an intellect and you may have some knowledge of God, but God doesn't accept just because you know the Bible somewhat. Just because you have some good moral may it matters of your life, God doesn't accept your riches. He doesn't accept your accomplishments. And he comes down, Naaman does, down to Elisha. And God has a plan. And you know what God's plan is? We have to humble Naaman. God doesn't give grace to the proud. God gives grace to the humble, the broken. You don't desire sacrifice, Lord. The sacrifices of God would be a broken and contrite spirit. Naaman is going to have to admit that he doesn't have a solution, and he's going to have to submit, whether he likes it or not, to the only solution there is. Why, Elisha doesn't even come out. You know, a lot of people don't like preachers. I don't blame them sometimes. Sometimes we can be a problem. Elisha doesn't even come out and talk to Naaman. Can you imagine? Why, here's this great, important person, and the preacher treats him like he's not important. Why would a preacher do that? You know, we preach against sin, don't we? We tell about how we're weak and how we're not able to be right with God by our own doing. We don't treat you as being some great and mighty person, because there is none good, no, not one. There's none that are worthy of the salvation of God. And Naaman needs to understand that. He needs to recognize what he really is. He's a leper. And we need to realize and recognize what we are to God. We're a sinner. We're a rebel. We've one that offended him again and again and again and again. And for us to come to God and think that he should do whatever we command him to do and do it the way we want him to do it is a great pride. God is God, not you. Elisha just sends a servant out to Naaman and says, Naaman, you go down to the River Jordan. You know that old muddy river down there? You go down there and you dip yourself 7 times down there and you'll be healed. Well, Naaman didn't like the message and he didn't like the way it was delivered to him. It wounded his pride is what it did. And he went away in a rage, angry. How angry he is. Oh, why, I thought at least he would come out and speak to me and strike his hand over the leprosy. I thought he would do this and this and this, and he's not recognizing who I am. And he's treating me in a way that I don't think I deserve. And he's talking about things of a river Jordan that, my goodness, we've got rivers in Syria that are clean, and they're not muddy. They're river streams, mountain streams that are clear. And those are things I could wash in. Why, what am I doing down here going through what I'm going through? And he went away in a rage. And I'll tell you why he's going through this is because he needs to recognize that he's helpless. He's not the great power. He can't make it himself. He can't get out of his problem. He can't overcome his leprosy. And there is a God, and he's going to have to submit to God. That's the only way. There's a lot of ideas and philosophies out there in the world, and they look clean, don't they? They look wonderful. This is the way to be happy. There's a river here. I know that river. I can wash in that one. I can be happy there. I can be happy in this one. But I'm going to tell you something. You can wash in all the happy rivers of the world and you'll find yourself still miserable with sin that's destroying you. We got a problem. Naaman, we got a problem. One of his servants ran after him, I'm sure, just as fast as he could and said, Naaman, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, you would have done it. Oh, that's what Naaman's about, isn't it? Why, I want everybody to think well of me. I'll do some great thing and everybody will look up to me. Well, I'm going to say this to you. The way up is down. Humbling, broken, that's when God will work in our life. And I say to you, it's necessary. Otherwise, we would take credit, wouldn't we? Many a person says to me, well, I prayed this sinner's prayer. I say, are you going to heaven? Yes, I'm going to heaven. I prayed the sinner's prayer. You see how they're patting themselves on the back. Well, they say, I believe in God. Well, I'm a good person. You'd be surprised. 95-99% of the time, the people I speak to at the Rescue Mission, when I ask them if they're a good person, they almost always say, yes, I'm a good person. One day I spoke to a man. I didn't know what he was, but I found out afterwards. He'd been arrested and imprisoned for child molesting. I didn't know it at the time. He came forward as an older man, about 60 years of age. And I said, are you a good person? He said, oh, yes, I'm a good person. Well, when we say, oh, my. Well, what about you? You say, well, I'm a good person. I'm not a child molester. You see, Naaman needs humbling, and so do we. How we like to look at our accomplishments and our personalities and people like us or whatever it might be that we hold on to, and that's what comforts us. But Naaman was a leper. If you would have been told to do some great thing, you would have done it. Oh, yes, you would have, Naaman. You would have gained the glory from it. But let me tell you this. There is no glory in sin. And when there is a healing of sin, then the glory goes to God, not to us. The honor is His, not us. So many church members, so many people that have had some religious matter in their life when they were children, and they hold on to that. It's not anything Christ did, it's something they did. I say, to what did you do to think you can go to heaven? And we say, I did this, and I did this, and I did that. And we give credit to ourselves. It's always I did this. Well, what are we to do the work of God? That was asked by a group of people that knew the Bible and were believers in the God of the Bible. That is, they believed He was real. What can we do the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. Not yourself. I would have done some great thing. Yes, and that would have been a belief in you. Many a person is going to go to hell that went to church. And they were trusting in their good deeds. Well, Naaman comes to his senses. And I'm so thankful. Aren't you thankful that God was dealing with him? Naaman really does come to his senses. Why, here he is. He's got a little maid that's talked to him. He's got a servant that's talked to him. Oh, man, all of these people are so much under him, aren't they? And then one of his soldiers, just one of the common soldiers, runs and talks to him. Well, come down, Naaman, off your perch. You're a sinner, and you have no answer. And Naaman goes down and dips himself 7 times in the Jordan River. Now, let me tell you what the significance is. It's not the dipping of himself. It's not the Jordan River. There's no municipal qualities there that would heal leprosy. It's God that healed him. When he finally turned from himself and gave up his pride and trusted what God had told him as the cure. There it is. You say, or you say, I'm prideful. I'm saying you are. Why, the human race is so proud. We're so arrogant. We think we can shake our fist at God and do all our sin and we can get by with it. What arrogancy that is. And God has to humble us. What have I done? What's wrong with me? Look at my life. Why, you had all these ideas that you were going to do this and this great thing. But leprosy is there. The sin of your life is there. And it is ruining you. It's destroying you. You're older, you know that. If you're still young, you may still not know that yet. It is true. And you think, maybe I'll do differently. No, you won't. Sin will destroy you. But Christ is the solution to your sin. There is a cure. Not a human cure. Not my cure. No prophet can save you from your sin. But he can tell you about the God that can. And he can tell you about Christ. Now, the work of Christ is what it is. Not our work. And it is the work of Christ. He died, didn't he? You know, I grew up in church and knew that Christ died on the cross for me. Yet it didn't dawn on me what it really meant. I didn't understand it until one day I saw my sin. And then I saw what Christ did. That he did it for me. That it had to be done. That he had to pay my judgment. That his blood had to be spilled. That my sin had to be washed away by his work, not mine. And it was in that understanding that I did not any longer look to do something. I was searching. Somebody tell me what to do. And all that I was given was for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it dawned on me that God gave his Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, it's not a great intellect. Look, Nahum and I think he was probably really well versed in all the things of the day in education. I think he was a genius of a man in many ways. But that was some of his problem. A little child can come to know Christ. When they see their sin and see Christ as the solution. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That was an answer given to the question, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was a half rebuke. It's not you that does something. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Could Christ take your sin? Could he do that for you? You know, after I've acted the way I've acted, Naaman might say, you know, would he still do this for me? After we've done to God, would he still do that for me? It says in the Bible that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not when I became a good person. We won't ever be, will we? In ourselves. Not when I achieved some great thing that then he died for me. No. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And it's because we can't do anything. Do you know he has pity on you? He has pity on you. You can't solve the problem. Only Christ can. Come to him. You may have gone away in a rage before, out of a church. Somebody may have pushed you toward God and you said, leave me alone. And you went away in a anger. But God is patient, isn't he? God is so good. To love me, to die for me, to heal me. When I can do nothing for him. God did love, didn't he? Are you Naaman, the leper? Some of you are Naaman the leper, and you've been healed. You've dipped yourself there seven times, and you came out. Did you see what the result is when he trusts? There is this new skin. He's like a new babe. And that is the wonderful picture, isn't it, of a new person in Christ. All old things pass away, and all things become new. Many of you in this room, you didn't know what it was to be a Christian. Maybe you called yourself a Christian, but one day you came to Christ, and he saved you. And you were like a new person. And things were all different. You thought of this way, and then now you think in all different terms. Because Christ gives you his righteousness and his life. And old things do pass away. Aren't you glad? Every message is a simple message that God gave to Naaman. It was a humbling message. God can do it. There's a prophet that has the solution. God can do it. I wish that you would see the Lord. I think it would humble you. He owns all the universe. And yet God became man and became obedient even unto death, the death of the cross, so that he might save the sinner. Why don't you come to me? If there was some great thing that God would say to you to do, probably many of you would do that. Why don't you just come to him and yield yourself in trust to him? Let's all stand. We're going to sing a song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, number 261.